Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts. As well.
Like these guys? Coheed and Cambria?
I don't know them very well.
Oh, they're my most metal.
Are they?
Love, yeah. Hmm. Nick doesn't like them. Nick doesn't like metal bands with a high singing voice.
Oh. Yeah, I'm all right with that. Just depends on the rest of it, you know?
All right. Check them out.
I do kind of like the lower...
growly?
Yeah, I like that a lot. But I got bands that definitely hit the high range. In fact, a lot of the newer ones... they tend to go back and forth, and they even use two singers. They call it a clean singer and a dirty singer.
I like that.
Or just clean vocals and dirty vocals. Sorry, they don't really label it the way I said it.
Yeah, that'd be kind of hot if it was. Stu DJ's happy hour.
Okay. I've got one. I could start it off.
Do it.
I don't know where this is going to go, but I did want to bring this up to the group. I was thinking, underrated treat, fudge. I love fudge. It gets no love. It gets no love. You're bringing up treats you want to eat. Whoever mentions fudge,
boy, you've walked into a conundrum here.
Okay.
I love the concept of fudge. I typically don't eat more than a bite. There's just something about it that's too much. I feel the same way about brownies.
Oh,
I'm a Texas sheet cake guy. In the world of chocolate. Fudgy, thick treats. Give me the Texas sheet cake. Brownie second. Fudge in third. But, Rach, I get what you're saying. I'm intrigued by fudge.
I love it, but I only eat it when I'm on vacation.
Fudge is very important to me. When I was growing up. Well, so in the twilight of my high school and then, you know, post, my high school would do, like, a craft fair. I think it was actually the Marching Band's craft fair, which is why I would be involved in it. That makes sense. But it was.
I love that he's like figuring it out. Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to remember. I was like, why were we doing that?
I tied an onion on my belt, as was the style at the time.
I was like, you know, I actually think, yeah, that was the Marching Band. It was the music programs.
Did you make fudge?
Arts and craft fair. No. But there was a vendor that would come in and they would ply their fudge wares. And I would only be able to find this fudge in the twilight of the year, right? In the Christmas season. And I would look forward to it every year. I would seek out, find the fudge vendor.
What was special about said fudge?
Yummy.
You know what? The last time I had fudge, I think, was in Grafton. Don't you go to the place there?
There is the fudge place in Grafton.
Yeah.
Every vacation place has a fudge place.
Oh, for sure.
At least one.
Yeah, my grandma will oftentimes at Christmas get us a little box of
so,
the fudge.
Here's
from
the question.
Grafton fudge and ice cream.
Here's the question, though. Are you going
divine.
Straight up old school, just straight up chocolate fudge?
Yep.
Or are you like me, where you want to get the peanut butter one, and then the peanut butter and chocolate ones mixed, and then there's... the Rocky Road, and then there's the maple pecan, and there are all these other kinds. Do you get the other kinds, or you just get that one kind?
Chocolate fudge.
Kind of a purist.
And then you get it in the little box, and you get it with the little tiny white spoon, and you scoop it out. One little tiny bite at a time.
Usually they come with a knife.
I like all the flavors wheels.
That could be a myself experience. I assumed it was an everybody thing. Could be just a me thing. But I got to have my tiny spoon.
I actually like stale fudge.
Get a little crust on the outside.
Crunchy.
Yeah. As long as it's good in the inside. Yeah, that little crust on the outside is not bad.
I like stale things, though. I like stale cake.
You like stale Cheetos.
I love stale Cheetos. I leave the bag open and wait a couple days before I dig in.
A Schnucks cake is great the day that you eat it. I'm reading this like a poem. But it is perhaps even better a day or two later.
Yeah. Carrot cake.
It's a haiku.
3 days
going Enigma's never age mode, talking that's about what, schnooks.
That's
cake.
What I wrote in Epstein's birthday book. A schnooks cake, better upon opening, but perhaps quite greater after a day or two.
I have a question.
Is it about fudge?
No. I'm intrigued by people, and you see this all the time. It's become a thing. Who say, either to you or typically on social media, I don't give an F. You think I give an F what anyone thinks about me? And I marvel at these people because I take them at their word. And I'm 61 with a very successful career and a family, and I still give a great F what people think about me. And so it seems like a superpower. And my question is, do people who say this really not give an F? Or yes. Is this the thing to say?
No, it's real.
Like, you don't care.
I don't, no.
I don't believe him.
I'd say there's not, I'm not going to say there are no people whose opinions I care about. I care what my boss thinks. You know, I care what family members, I care what you guys think. But just general people? Nah. You know, I mean, what's the point? If I cared about what everybody thought, well, I can't please everybody, so now I'm just going to get tied into knots.
Welcome to my life.
So I just don't. I, honest to God, if someone comes on the chat and rips me, I just don't care. I might like to argue because I enjoy that. It's a fun sport. But no, I won't be like driving home going, I can't believe he said that to me.
Rach, where are you?
I think I go back and forth between caring way too much what people think. And then I will go down that road so far that I'm like, this really hurts me and I'm getting nothing out of this. And like Wheels said, I can't please everyone. So what is it that I'm doing? And then eventually I'm able to turn it around and kind of head back towards the, like, I actually don't really care. I don't. Like, when I really dig down deep and I really think about it, I don't know what it is that I'm chasing when I want other people's approval. Because it doesn't mean that much to me. Yes, there are people who I do, like, again, like, my friends, you guys, like, people who are important to me, sure, but the... Just anyone I walk past in the hall, like, not so much.
And I would not argue so those people shouldn't care what I think either.
Right, yeah, I don't expect them to.
Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, I care what people think. I think that's pretty normal. I think that's pretty common. I don't really believe Kevin when he says that he doesn't care what people think. I think that he's lying. No. I think that he cares more than...
But Kevin doesn't care that you think that he's lying.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I'm not trying to call my boy out. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it.
No, I get it. I think it's one of those things that unless you have that in your mind, it's hard to understand. I don't get what it's like to be anxious about those things. I don't experience it. And I wouldn't... And that's the thing is I can't say... It doesn't. And by the way, this is also something for a long time that existed in day-to-day life, right? Where people would have depression or they would have anxiety and other people were like, just get over it.
Yeah.
What are you even doing? It was that idea that you're fine. You're going to be okay. It's your mindset. We all know that that's not true, right? There are times when you're in a bad mood. That's not the same thing as being depressed.
Yeah.
Those are different things. And I think this is the same kind of differentiation. There, if you don't live that, if you don't experience that, you just don't believe. Or it doesn't feel like it's real. Maybe that's the best way to put it.
The reason I don't think Wheels is lying is because I actually cannot imagine Kevin changing his behavior based on what someone else said.
I mean, if it's you guys or my boss.
Right. Yeah, like if it was like someone you cared about who was like, oh, this is hurting me. Like, absolutely. I think you would change your behavior. But I can't see you being like, oh, maybe I should be less opinionated about this subject or whatever. I'll become more palatable. Like, I don't think that is a factor for Wheels. And I respect that a lot because that's something I struggle with.
Do you respect that I care what everyone thinks?
Yeah, I do.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Because you're not choosing that.
Like Andrew said, that is a really normal way to feel. Like, of course, everyone wants to be liked and accepted. We live in, like you want to be a part of society. You want to be a valued part of society. I don't think it's weird to want that stuff.
I know that this is like an old stand-up bit by one of those country comics who I can't stand. But it's so true. I was thinking about last night. How much we bastardize the English language. I don't know if it's a St. Louis thing or an everyone thing. But for example, I wrote down, did you like her? But if we were to say it, we'd say, did you like her?
Yeah.
Did you have enough? Did you have enough?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just weird, isn't it? That we take all those words, did you have enough? And we shorten it to, did you have enough?
Every other place in the world does it.
You think so?
Yeah. Australians say, g'day. They don't say, good day, fellow. They say, g'day.
Yeah, there's a ton of like phrases in Japanese that I don't actually clock when people say because I've learned them like the very prim and proper way.
You learn the technical
and
version,
then,
yeah.
Yeah, someone rattles it off. It's like, what now? Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard that from people learning English, that it's like hard. Like,
yeah.
When they teach English, they should teach more like contractions
slang
and stuff. Yeah, because you won't say will not, you'll say won't.
But it's the same thing anywhere else. You go to, as an example, going to France, they don't say, like if you say, I don't know is je ne sais pas. No, they don't say it like that. They go, j'ai pas. J'ai pas. Like that. You don't know that unless you've been there or unless you have a really good teacher that knows. But that exists. Look at England. Yeah, how many different versions of English are there in England? You know, you've got proper Queen's English and you've got, Birmingham English and you've got all the different regions. And that's a small little country. I mean, like, even in England, they have different versions of it. You know?
I would love it if in South Roxana we had spoken with a strong British accent.
That would be so great, right?
Wouldn't that be great?
And like Queen's English.
Yeah, just like your little town, you know? Did you get the government cheese, Governor? Did you guys see that some rich guy is planning to erect a 450-foot Prometheus statue on Alcatraz? Said that he was looking out over the bay and thought it was missing something, and he made a bunch of money from crypto, and so he wants to build a statue larger. It's important to him that it's larger than the Statue of Liberty, and it's Prometheus, which wasn't one of the seven wonders, but it was there used to be one somewhere, like a big one, not 450 feet, but how's that hit you?
Stupid.
I mean,
why Prometheus?
Why Alcatraz? Also, just give that money to people who need stuff.
It's going to cost $450 million.
Yeah.
It's $1 million per foot.
I mean, like, you can't do anything better with that money than a statue that nobody cares about but you.
Yeah, why are all the crypto billionaires freaks?
Like, good question.
It's just kind of like a weird thing to want to spend your money on. Or to be deeply passionate about. Like, you know, there are people who are hungry that you could feed with $450 million.
A whole lot of things could be done with that.
A lot of stuff.
How many people are in debt to their eyeballs because a family member got sick?
Right.
You'd rather build a stupid statue on a retired prison than actually help people? I mean, what's going to get you remembered more? Are you going to be remembered more for helping people, saving lives, saving people's homes? Are you going to remember more because you put a statue up on Alcatraz?
Guess what McDonald's is bringing back?
McRib.
McRib.
When?
Do it.
Now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dumb. My wife loves the McRib.
Yeah.
I think she's crazy because I think it's disgusting trash.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But she thinks it's great. So, you know, who am I to pass judgment? Her husband. I pass judgment all the time. It's disgusting.
I like the McRib just fine.
He just never paused and just right in there.
No.
That was great. That was well played, Andrew.
Who might have passed judgment? I'll tell you who I am to pass judgment. It's disgusting.
We need to find a local poetry reading group. One of those where they snap their fingers instead of clapping.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dress you
Beat
all
poetry.
In black. Yeah. Get you like an Abraham Lincoln hat or something.
No, it's got to be a beret.
Let you go. Yeah.
I have a beret.
Raspberry?
Lovely red beret.
Why?
Raspberry?
I don't know why. I purchased it.
With From the fudge? Where?
With the fudge money. I don't know. I think I thought I would look good in it.
When? When did you buy this?
Oh, gosh. 16, 17.
So you'll wear it tomorrow, right?
If I can find it, I'll wear it tomorrow.
Wait a second. Now, look, I'm not giving you trouble because I once tried to work the Samuel L. Jackson backward Kangol hat.
Yes.
But you thought, hooray, that's my look.
No, it was more like I saw it and I was like, I'll buy that. And then I bought it. And then I was like, oh, I guess I should wear it. And then I put it on and I'm like, this doesn't look great.
Did you ever wear it outside the house?
Yeah, probably.
Taking your wife to get a McRib?
Well, this was before I knew her.
clearly.
You might have gotten a veto. Like, you're going to wear that outside?
Yeah, exactly.
You might be a single man had you worn that on your first date. Welcome back, guys. DGS 425. So,
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
For the third year in a row, I was invited by my company, Odyssey, to host a national podcast about suicide prevention, specifically for veterans. And of course, I accepted, and it's my privilege and honor to do that. And we recorded it this morning. It's going to play on all of the like 300 stations that Odyssey has next week. But we asked them if we could play part of it for you first, and they said yes. So after this break, we're going to play you a part of that. And the gentleman who I interviewed, just complete happenstance, was from St. Louis.
Oh.
So that was very cool.
That wasn't Bridgeton done on purpose,
boy.
Huh?
Nope.
Oh,
nope.
That's very cool.
He had no idea who I was going to be, and when I introduced myself, he's like, oh my God, I'm from Bridgeton. So that was very cool.
Neat.
A woman turned down her boyfriend's public marriage proposal because he got her a $900 ring from Walmart, which he supposedly knew she didn't want. And the comments are running the gamut. Some say the woman was totally justified, while others say that the man dodged a bullet.
So you would have said yes if it was a $3,000 ring?
Sounds like it.
Then you're a terrible person. It's about the person that's asking you, not about the ring.
I saw this morning. This is all over the internet. I'm of the opinion it's good that these people are not going to marry each other.
I think you're right.
Because there's obviously a communication breakdown. She's upset because this isn't the ring she asked for. I guess it wasn't necessarily about the price or the fact it was from Walmart. It was more, I don't want this style. Which I think if you were really like looking forward to spending the rest of your life with someone, you would probably still look past that fact and say yes. At the same time, if a man really wants to marry you, I think he would try to make you happy with the ring he chose to. It just seems like they don't actually like each other that much, and it's good that she said no.
I think that's the best take I've heard.
Yeah, or just say, yes, but let's do a different ring.
Yeah, yeah. And then if the guy says no,
then you know you got maybe an issue.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. It just feels like, and I know where the judgment's going to go. Like, well, if that's all you care about, hey, listen, the money shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter. I mean, The ring my dad proposed to my mom with was nothing fancy. And of course, because that was not the point. And then later you upgrade, right? Later on when you're doing better, when you go ahead and do something a little bit more substantial to go along with that. I mean, like, I don't know, man. It just feels very petty to be judging the amount.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Welcome, everyone. You are listening to Odyssey, to I'm Listening. My name is Dave Glover. I'm going to be your host tonight. I do the Dave Glover Show in St. Louis on KMOX. Been doing it for 25 years. And we're going to be talking about Veterans Affairs and especially suicide prevention tonight. Something that's very near and dear to my heart because in 2002, on Christmas Eve, I lost my brother Keith to suicide, who had served in the U.S. Army in the early 70s. So since then, and especially since I never served a day myself,
It's been very important to me to do what I can to help out veterans, especially those who are having suicidal ideations. My guest today is Kevin Hurdle. He's a former aircraft maintainer in the Air Force. He's lost multiple airmen through his time in service, which led him to create Veteran Suicide Awareness and Remembrance Flag Corporation, also known as SAR Flag Family. Kevin, so nice to meet you. Thanks for being here.
Nice to meet you. Thank you for having me, and condolences on your loss.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And it's something that, I mean, we're going back now over 20 years, but it's something that at the time, I wasn't that involved with Veteran Affairs. Like I said, I never served. I didn't know about the problem with suicides until my brother. And then once I looked into it, there was just so much information there. It was overwhelming. So let's start out. If you could just tell us a little bit about your time with the Air Force and situations that maybe led you to where you are today.
I was an F-16 crew chief, which means I was a maintainer, a jet mechanic, basically. I served during 9/11. I got out and I struggled acclimating back to being a civilian. And then in 2016, my cousin, Senior Airman Robert Dean, U.S. Air Force, he died by suicide. It was at that time I became painfully aware of the 22 a day, and I didn't know about that previously. And I was kind of felt embarrassed and ashamed that I didn't know about it. But like I said, I was struggling myself. And so I then spent 2 years reading and researching everything I could get my hands on, trying to understand why this was happening to our brothers and sisters and what, if anything, I could do about it. And in that time, I lost another cousin to suicide, Clay Free. He was a civilian, but he died almost a year later. And what a lot of people don't know or may not know is that when somebody dies in your family by suicide, the immediate family members, if they're struggling, they can also die by suicide. And that's what happened to Clay. But I kept coming back to the stigma that exists within our community, our warrior culture, and that's why I wanted to create a symbol. I decided on creating a symbol, in which later became the SAR flag, but that led to our mission, which is to break the stigma of mental health, suicide, and seeking treatment within our warrior culture to facilitate suicide prevention for our veterans and military.
Kevin,
so that's how I kind of got to that.
One thing that I've learned over the past couple of decades being involved in this is it's intuitive to think that, sure, if you see heavy combat, it's going to affect you in such a way to lead to PTSD, which could lead to suicidal ideations, which could lead to taking your own life. But it's not just war fighters. It's not just combat people. And that's something I've learned over the years. And that's a very important point.
Yeah, I mean, we did one of the primary ways in which my organization breaks the stigma is via our remembrance ceremonies. And we present an SAR flag to their surviving family members of those who've lost a loved one to suicide. That's a whole nother thing. But the reason why I mentioned that is we did a remembrance ceremony for a cadet who was in the Air Force, and he was still going through training. And it can affect you. A lot of people who come in might have pre-existing health conditions that can be exacerbated by military service. And I think during COVID, a lot of people now understand, after having the lockdowns, just being isolated affects your mental health detrimentally in such a way that could lead to a crisis, and without intervention can lead to death. So it affects everyone. You don't have to be a combat veteran. Just being in the military, it can exacerbate pre-existing conditions or create conditions that could lead to a crisis, which could then lead to death without intervention.
So, Kevin, let's talk a bit about some of the contributing factors to veteran suicide and some of the protective factors. What are some of the things, if we can go drill down a little deeper, about service across the board that connects a direct line to someone having suicidal ideations at a later time?
From my experience, our training. I mean, we're trained from day one. We have some of the best training in the world. We have... In the Air Force, it was called self-aid buddy care, where if your arm is blown off, I know how to tourniquet and stop the bleeding, and I know how to a sucking chest wound, I know how to put a credit card there and tape three sides so the air can go out, but it can't get in, you won't drown in your own blood. I know all these medical things, but when it came to mental health, they trained us to downplay it, dismiss it, diminish it, or just push through. I mean, we had patches that said embrace the suck. And so... The mentality in our warrior culture is just to push through it. And so the reason for suicide varies as much as the individual. But the two things that I kept coming back to in my experience and I've seen across the board is isolation and hopelessness. And I think that mentality in our warrior culture to just push through it does not serve us well. And that's one area or aspect of our training that's not, you know, it's leading to people's death. And I think when I talk to the military and especially leadership, I always try and get them to focus on mental health is physical health. A mentally healthy warrior is a mission-ready warrior, and this is something that we should pay more attention to. And that's also the stigma that's surrounding it. You know, if we focus on breaking that stigma and allowing people to simply talk about it and utilizing the services that are available, it can equal saving lives. You're asking me, will my love grow?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.